Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You betcha, buddy. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby Carella, Mavs.com, is coming up in 1 hour. We'll talk to him. Does he agree that something's just not adding up with the disappointment stretch this team is on? Or does he hold the line for optimism? You'll find out from Bobby coming up at 4 o'clock. I know a lot of fans getting highly frustrated, this time not with Luka, not with Kyrie Irving, not with the roster, but with the coaching staff. And you know, Jason Kidd got to the conference finals. You know, it's possible, but back-to-back disappointing ends to the season. If this next 20 games isn't there, I'm going to be with them. I'm holding out hope that Jason Kidd can pull this thing out of the gutter. But dang it, that is an amazing group of talented basketball players, and that was another embarrassment of a performance last night. Defense in today's game is all about being connected, and it's all about, you know, being on the same page. And that's the job of the coaching staff to make sure it happens for the players. They went out and got them better players. And 120 or more, six straight games. Last night, it was 30 points allowed in all four quarters. At least the Stars helped you end the night properly. Here's Wolchuk with that NFL news of the day.
Thank goodness for the Dallas Stars. My gosh, we are having a lot of players that are being released, cap casualties right now. The news is coming in fast and furious here in the NFL. So, Brian, I think we might have more homework to do for Rusty's Corner tomorrow, which is a good problem to have.
They're dipping into my college film watching, too.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, but we love you, and we know that you're putting in the work for us, and we're thrilled to we're really lucky to have you. But it seems like we got another safety that's on the market, so you did the homework on Quandre Diggs.
Who do I got tonight?
It's going to be Jordan Poyer.
Oh, Buffalo Bill.
Jordan Poyer, at 32 years old, has been released by the Buffalo Bills, former All-Pro. His teammate, Micah Hyde, who was hurt for the majority of this season, is also set to be a free agent. So two of maybe the most underrated safety duos in the history of the sport that were really good for Buffalo will not be going back to the Bills next year. Poyer was a defensive captain, was an All-Pro in 2021. His release opens up $5 million in cap space for the Bills. They also went ahead and are restructuring cornerback Rasul Douglas, whom they traded for during the season from Green Bay.
Played well for them.
Yeah, he's a good player. $2.5 million, that restructure, they're opening up some cap space. So Bills are doing what they need to do to try and get under the cap here before the new league year starts. But Jordan Poyer, that's a big name now that's also out there on the free agent market. Another name that apparently is set to become a free agent, according to Matthew Berry of NBC, Joe Mixon of the Cincinnati Bengals. They are expected to release Joe Mixon. That would save $6.1 million in cap space if indeed that happens. They're also expected not to bring back wide receiver Tyler Boyd. You know, they're hoping they can reach a long-term deal with T. Higgins, keep Higgins and Jamar Chase together. Tyler Boyd, though, is a guy that they're probably not going to have enough money to keep. So there's a couple of big names, Jordan Poyer, Joe Mixon. They're both out there now potentially as free agents coming up here.
You know, let me ask you, am I being too cynical in my mind? I'm thinking, wow, if he's got anything, the Cowboys aren't going to be interested. It could be a name only. You know, like they had Michael Bennett, who was on the dying embers of his career. You know, and we were hoping that he could make a play, but the guy had to jump offside like every other play to try to give himself an opportunity to get to the quarterback. So I don't know. I'm hoping that that is too cynical. But after the blows that Steven and Jerry have dealt to my Cowboy morale here in the last 10 days, I'm just not up for getting excited about these names, Wolchuk.
No, there are times where maybe you are too cynical. This is not one of those times, Gavin. Oh. You are spot on. And I wish I could say you were. I wish I could push back and we could get in a fight over this. But no, Eric Kendricks, the exact description we got from Ryan, probably his best football is behind him. That's the exact kind of candidate here
sure.
that the Cowboys would be looking at.
Sure.
A player that on the open market, he's probably not going to have a ton of interest because the rest of the league also understands that his best football is behind him. Maybe he's a veteran guy, insurance, depth. Maybe he's a guy like Anthony Barr a couple of years ago. You go into training camp, he's still a free agent. An injury happens, he ends up getting signed. But that type of player who you know is going to be very cost effective but would fill a need is the type of way the Cowboys have maneuvered free agency. It's not, oh my gosh, Joe Mixon's available, bring him in. Jordan Poyer, all-pro safety, who is 32, by the way. Maybe his best football is behind him as well, but it seemed like he still played at a high level last year. These are not the kind of guys that realistically I think the Cowboys are going to be viewing at signing.
If they spend money, do you think they would spend money on a safety?
I think they would spend money, I would think, as at linebacker.
I do too.
I think that would be the position that makes more sense to spend money on.
I agree. I agree with that, yeah.
And if we had to choose, I think that's the way to go because we have questions with, like, there's some linebackers that are good in this draft that we like, Brian, but there are question marks as well. I mean, we've talked about the top guys hurt.
Where do you think the Cowboys have a bigger need, defensive tackle or corner?
I love that question. I think defensive tackle.
We're assuming Gilmore's back?
Don't assume it.
Corner.
See, I think both are needs.
Yeah.
But I think I'd go defensive tackle just slightly. Just like, because you are going to get, and again,
I don't think they have a one technique on this roster right now. I mean,
Haggins is a free agent.
Yeah,
they don't.
I don't. I don't. You know, when you start to, but you also look at this. If Gilmore's gone and Jordan
Lewis is
gone, Diggs
coming off of injury.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some corner problems too.
You do.
So I mean,
you trust Eric Scott.
See, that's what I brought Eric Scott's name. They gave up a this year pick for the rights to draft Eric Scott, and all I ever heard was, in the game, Eric Scott was inactive every single game.
It looked like a team that was just littered with talent that had a couple role players in spots that were, you know, just asked to hold down the fort in your position. But it's more like a group of role players with a couple of stars. And now their depth is in question. I really think the playoffs are in question next year, guys.
Yeah, the team right now is, they have a lot of holes that they need to fill. Which is why I do think the trade...
This division's probably going to be bad, Gavin.
I hope the division's bad.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I would still pick him. I would still pick him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's not saying much.
Yeah.
Adolis Garcia, by the way, has hit a home run in his first spring training game. He just homered Solo Bomski, 4-2 Colorado leading in the top of the fourth right now. So an El Bombi dong ball, that's what we're talking about. Speaking of the division, three-time Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz is back in the NFC East. He is signing with Dan Quinn and the Commandos on a one-year deal worth up to $5 million. He's reuniting with Cliff Kingsbury, who was his head coach there in Arizona, whom he previously was with. So Zach Ertz, another one of those players. You talk about his best football probably behind him, but he's back in the division.
I hate to say this, but that's a waste of $5 million right there. Zach Ertz can't play anymore. I'm sorry. I mean, I watched.
But that's the kind of moves you want to see your division rival make.
I know he was with Arizona. We saw Arizona beat Dallas last year, but he can't block. He really, it's very much
like. And he's hurt often now.
Yeah, it's kind of watching Jason Witten those last few years. You throw him the ball, it's a 4-yard gain. He gets tackled, and, you know, everybody's happy. He caught a ball.
Yeah.
That's a bad use of money right there.
I was surprised if he went anywhere, it'd be going back to Philadelphia. I think he needed like a handful of catches to become their.
Well, you'd hope he'd go back to Philadelphia and take $5 million off their cap, too.
Yeah, I would hope that. But that's the thing. Philadelphia wasn't stupid enough to pay him the $5 million. Yeah. So they're thinking, okay, well, here we go. Let me take this much money as I can get here on the open market. Go sign there. Speaking of the Commanders, there are some rumors that they could be a team that is willing to move down. They're open to everything in this draft, including moving back, according to Adam Schefter, who was on with Pat McAfee.
See, they're not in love with Drake May. That's
or Jaden Daniels?
Well,
they must not be in love with either.
They must. I tell you what, they must feel like that. Maybe they feel like that they could get Drake May a little bit later than. Yeah. I think keep an eye on another team I think that can move down is the New England Patriots.
At 3.
With Elliott Wolf running the draft there now. Elliott realizes he doesn't have a team that has a lot of quality players on it. He's going to try and get as many picks as he can and get that thing turned around.
Okay, you brought up the Patriots. I'll get back to the NFC East here in just a second. There was a rumor starting yesterday that people within Jaden Daniels' camp did not want him to go to New England.
That's BS.
It is. It's BS. Apparently, that's not true. Jaden Daniels has come out and insinuated that that is, in fact, fart. That is not accurate.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Patriots now, I don't know, this could have changed, like with Elliott Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick was a guy, according to NFL Network, that loved Jaden Daniels. He was at the top of New England's draft board when Belichick was there.
Yeah.
Likely would have been the pick if he were on the board.
Sure.
Now with Belichick gone,
yeah,
does that change? Is Elliott Wolf still as enamored with Jaden Daniels?
In Elliott's bloodlines of his dad made a trade for Brett Favre. Sorry about this, Wolf.
Okay.
He made a trade for Brett Favre that changed the direction of the Green Bay Packers forever. And so Elliott realizes how important it is to have a quarterback. And in this day and age, we've all seen, if you've had a chance to see Daniels play, he won the Heisman. He carried an LSU team that had no business winning 10 games. They've got outstanding wide receivers. Two of them are likely going to be picked in the first round. But he carried that team. And if Elliott knows how important it is to have a quarterback.
And he's special.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be playing in the AFC now, especially in that division with Josh Allen, and I mean, I don't know what you think about Tua. Some people don't love Tua, but either way, you've got Burrow, you've got Mahomes, you've got Allen. Maybe Herbert's better now with Harbaugh. You need a difference maker at the position. Jaden Daniels, to me, that's why I've got him at number two behind Caleb Williams. His stock, to me, you talk about sky's the limit. That's a dude that can take over the National Football League with his ability to not only win from the pocket, but also his running and playmaking ability outside of it. I get he takes some hits that he's going to need to clean up, but he makes some plays where you're like, holy hell. He is looking to run. He's keeping his eyes downfield while navigating outside the pocket, and then will take off.
His escapability is rare.
It is.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm an alum, but I watched him play for the last 2 years. He's been a very, very good quarterback.
He's fantastic.
Yeah,
he really is. Now, the Giants, according to Sean O'Hara of the NFL Network, former New York Giant, won a Super Bowl with them.
We
kind of hinted at this yesterday, but he thinks that Rome Odunze from Washington might be the number one overall receiver on the Giants board.
I would agree to that. In talking to my friends at the Giants, they realized they need skill, and there was thought about Neighbors. If he would be available. But now people are starting to talk about Neighbors from LSU over Harrison from Ohio State. So that maybe the Giants felt like that they're not going to have a shot at Neighbors. But Odunze is a unbelievable player.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He
reminds me a little bit of Ja'Marr Chase.
He has got toughness about him. He plays in cold weather. Rain, snow, whatever, it doesn't bother him.
Just gets open.
Gets open.
Good route runner.
Exactly.
I
would hate to
those
play.
Those top three guys are all so good.
I would hate to play against him at the Giants.
Yeah, that would be a good pick for the Giants. And we're still not sure. Maybe they're a team that gets into the quarterback mix. We will see. Now, we're on the receiver talk. Brandon Ayuk is a name that's been out there, along with Debo, both of them, as trade targets, right?
Yeah.
Well, Debo was on with Kay Adams, up in Adams, and Debo said, nope, he hasn't heard anything about that. That's just people on keyboards that are talking. He's not expecting to be out of San Francisco. So Kay asks him, all right, well, what about your teammate Brandon Ayuk? Would that be a mistake? Do you think he's going anywhere? Is he leaving San Fran?
My dog, like, the season that he just came off of and the seasons previous, I mean, if you look at his numbers from when he got to the league and now, like, it's always a different type of leap. And so, man, like I told him, man, I said, hey, man, you put yourself in a position to be where you want to be for us. You know, he's up for a new deal and things like that. And I just told him because I've been through it. Like, it's not going to be all fine and dandy like you think it's going to be, man. You got to stay the course. You know, you done did everything possible that you done did for you to be in the position that you done be in and just let everything play out.
I think letting BA go would be a huge mistake. A huge mistake.
Yeah, I love that guy. I don't see him leaving though.
I don't see him leaving. I think both those guys run it back there in San Francisco, and then they figure out what to do with Ayuk afterwards.
I'll tell you what, though. It's a smart team. Not afraid to move on.
They're certainly not.
They don't fall in love with their players. They realize that if they have to move them to keep them to keep salary cap space or to sign somebody else. They'll trade, and they do football in the right way in San Francisco.
Yeah, we're envious of them. We certainly are. Now, the Broncos could be moving on from both Jerry Jeudy and SMU's own Cortland Sutton this season. There is a report that Jeudy more likely to be traded. I think they've tried to trade Jerry Jeudy the last 2 years. Yeah. And they haven't found a way to do it. I think Sutton's the guy that would be more likely to be traded, and Jeudy just gets outright released like we're seeing several other players get cut. Peyton Manning is pursuing Bill Belichick to join Omaha Productions, according to Andrew Marchand. If Manning were to sign Belichick, the idea of teaming with ESPN to create a Belichick and Nick Saban Manning cast is expected to be broached.
Is that for... Oh, is that, so that would be an...
Because Saban's already with ESPN.
Right, but is that an NFL or a college one?
What are they? You could do both.
So Omaha Productions is under the ESPN umbrella, right?
Right.
So if you're on ESPN, so that he would bring Belichick on with him in Omaha and ESPN.
I would love to see those.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I would love to see a college football one myself.
Oh, yeah. So fantastic. Yeah. I would absolutely love this. Joe Flacco prefers to remain with the Browns. He loved his time there. He wants to go ahead and re-sign in Cleveland. Russell Wilson has been given the A-OK to talk to teams even before his release by the Denver Broncos. What do they have to lose?
That one is interesting to me because now if you're a team that needs a backup or you have some uncertainty about the future at your position, maybe if the Broncos are willing to eat everything, you'd give them a 5 or a 6, wouldn't you? For a chance at Russell Wilson, if you don't have any financial responsibility to it?
Yeah, if you don't have to, that way you don't necessarily have to fight other teams when it comes to trying to sign him.
Well, the thing, okay, maybe if we trade for him, we pick up the contract, don't we? Am I wrong about
that? They can do it where you're going to eat everything that you are going to eat.
Well, if they,
there's
if,
no guarantees coming to me.
If the trigger is that I don't have to deal with anything, then
I'll do that. Yeah. I was going to ask, like, would you be, if the Cowboys went through with trading Trey Lance to Minnesota, Cooper Rush, I guess, is your backup. I don't know that if you're looking at Russell Wilson as an upgrade over Cooper Rush, which is crazy to say. I never thought I'd be living in a world where I'm saying that, but would you be interested in Russell Wilson backing up Dak?
I absolutely would. You know, I think he's still pretty good. You're talking about, you know, them not having the best receivers. They're looking to move on from both Sutton and Jeudy. He put up 26 touchdowns and 8 picks and a 98 passer rating. I know that he's not the player that Sean Payton wants, and Sean Payton knows this guy can't be a big-time difference maker. He's a player on decline. But if the hit is minimal, you know, and you could have, like, a bridge quarterback potentially, I think he's a lot more credible than Trey Lance or Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just not worth $50 million
anymore.
No,
not at all. If you're playing league minimum for a backup, like, there's a lot of teams that are going to be interested in that right there. There's plenty of more football news. We'll get to it at Football's Finest at 5 o'clock, but I do have to pay off on the Brett Favre ski.
You do.
Mama gave me 8 of them flop checks, and Mama take away 5 of them flop checks. I want to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide. There's NFL news today.
Guy too.
Thank you, Bowley. Cautionary tale, do you want to play a game? We have worst signings in free agent history next. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a great day. Might be a great day to make a Whataburger run. And salute to our friends at Whataburger, going to sponsor our opening day coverage of the Texas Rangers here in just a couple of weeks. I believe we're 22 days away, which is an iconic number in a DFW sports history. So
hell yeah, it is.
Makes sense. Okay, let's take a look at this sports content here for you, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for Car and Truck Wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to truckwreck.com. I am off tomorrow, Brian. Salute to you guys for picking me up. Massive soccer tournament in Dallas, the DPL Summit. And I want to welcome all the teams that might be coming into town. I think there's 90 teams in our age group alone. 90 2011 girls teams. We're at Dallas Surf. We're the hosts of this bad boy. So we're looking forward to an awesome time. And I'm trying to keep expectations low so I don't freak out if we go down. You know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on me, maybe some cams. But Friday's game is super early, so I will be back Friday afternoon for the show. But thanks for picking me up tomorrow, gentlemen.
Absolutely. No, man, happy to do it.
Go kick some ass, dude.
Yeah, good luck with that whole thing.
Trying to bring another championship back to the Dub. You know, it is championship season, and expectations are high all around, so I'm not taking this opportunity lightly, gentlemen. You can
a lot of eyes on you. You think might maybe go professional something after this with the coaching game?
yeah. Take it, bro. Right from dad coach
straight to Copenhagen. Time, baby.
Yeah. Hey, no, for real, though, how long you plan on being a coach? After Abby's done with her, are you going to take the next baby on to the...
Yeah, if she wants to play, then this thing's probably going to go for at least another decade.
Okay. Women's high school basketball is the next thing, like that comedian that, you know, the volunteer.
The volunteer amateur. I already asked the folks over there at Sunnyvale. Apparently, you got to be a school employee inside the state of Texas to also coach in any capacity. So I won't be doing that, you know, unless I could get a part-time janitor gig or something like that. I'd be willing to bang out a shift, clean some restrooms, clean the calf. In the morning, if you know, whatever it takes. Top 10 here, the worst signings in NFL history. Now we can play a game here, Wolchuk against Broadus, to see which of you guys knows these the best. I do think Broadus has an advantage in experience because he saw some of these players play, might have recruited them or scouted them,
might have signed them.
Yes.
Might have been a bad signing.
Bad signings.
Couple bad signings along the way.
Yes, but also
Marco Rivera.
Wolchuk has the...
I tried to talk Parcells out of that one.
Did you?
That was bad. That was good work.
I was with him in Green Bay. He had a bad back. I told him, I said, Coach, he has a bad back.
That was not a good one.
He goes, oh, no, we'll do it, you know. And
what the hell do you know, kid?
This is the reason I got fired.
Well, you were giving good advice, really. You said, bring in Charles Woodson and don't bring in Marco Rivera. Those were two things they should have listened.
I took it personal. If Jerry or Steven are listening right now, I took it personal that he was spending your money that way. I wasn't going to let him do that. Mm. And, you know, Marco Rivera, we gave him $9 million for what?
When Parcells was up there going, if I'm going to coach the team, I want to shop for the groceries, was he talking about a young Brian Broaddus in his ear just whipping him about the bad personnel decisions he was making?
It's like Bill and I had a really great relationship when he was in New England. Hmm. He thought the world of me. And I knew when he came here that things were going to be better. I didn't feel like that he was going to turn on me like he did. Hmm. He just did not like the fighting. The older he got, he just didn't like the fighting. And, you know,
And you were in prime fighting shape. You were ready for some football.
I was in my 30s.
You knew how that paid off in Green Bay. A lot of good debates there. Yeah. It's just healthy.
Well, he did not appreciate me at all. And he got rid of me, and that's fine. That's, you know, the saddest thing about this whole thing with me, and I'm not trying to be poor me guy, he got rid of me, and then he was gone 2 years later.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even stay, like, another 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, I was gone, and then he was gone. And I'm like, wait a minute. It just doesn't seem...
Can I get my job back now?
Yeah, but...
You've made a hell of a media career out of this thing, though.
If you
could go back and just not say anything to Bill, would you do that? Or how would you do it different, you think?
I'll tell you what. I love the fight. I love the fight.
You can only be yourself. Man.
If I had
to do it the one way.
I will say this: if I had to do it all over again, I'd have gone to culinary school first. But no,
I'd
have a restaurant in London. It would be a Michelin star restaurant.
But
to me, this is where if I had to do it over, I should
like
never
some crawfish.
I would never left Green Bay. Would have never left Green Bay.
Oh, this is spicy. Yeah.
Crawfish and chips.
Green Bay.
I don't think the English palate would be able to handle you.
See, that's the thing about leaving Green Bay was the biggest mistake, because every one of those guys, like I say, I used to babysit Elliot Wolf. Like, he was 10 years old. I was babysitting him there in Green Bay, and now he's a general manager. Every one of those guys, Scott McLuhan, John Dorsey, Reggie McKenzie, every guy that I work with got a shot to be a general manager. And that's the thing that
I mean, at the very least, you would have been their assistant GM.
I think
on the draft you ran, you had a hell of a draft.
We had a hell of a draft. I wish we'd had that opportunity to continue on with that. But yeah, I learned something. This day and age, people don't want to fight with you. They don't, and especially at the job, they don't want to fight.
Yeah, it's sign that somebody's got to go as soon as you have one fight.
As soon as you...
I was about ready to make up with you, shake your hand, buy you a beer, and you're leaving. What's going on here?
As soon as you question the authority of why are we doing this, they people turn on you. Instead of, and I... Trust me, I've been...
That sounds more like Gen Z than the greatest generation to me. Brian.
I've been in rooms where we have battled, and you walk out of the room and you go to dinner with the guy that night.
Yeah. That should be.
I mean, hell, we do that in radio all the time.
I thought Parcells was that guy.
Yeah.
I thought Parcells was I'm going to give you my opinion and see what you say. And he could say, Brian, I don't agree with you. And you know what? I would accept that. And he's like, you want to sign a malcontent. He was talking about Charles Woodson. And you know why? Because he talked to Al Davis. And Al Davis told him that Al Davis soured on Charles Woodson. Hmm. What did the Packers do? They got a defensive player of the year at safety.
Do you think Parcells bleeped you with Al?
No. Because
you were going out there to work with the Raiders. Next thing you know, Mike Lombardi got rug pulled.
No. Yeah, Mike Lombardi helped me a lot. Mike helped me a lot get that opportunity. I just don't think Al was ready to hire me. I just don't think he was ready to hire me. And you know what, though, Dawson, now you think about it, I don't know that for sure. I don't know that. But Mr. Davis wanted to, try me out. I'll tell you this point blank. If I didn't have a wife and a son at the time, I probably would have been out there for $2,000 a month living in a hotel trying to stay in the NFL. Hmm. I would have done that. But, man, it's tough. When you get in these discussions now with people and you disagree with them, people don't take it very well. And I thought Bill was a fighter. He's really not. He really is not a fighter.
Wasn't at that point in his career anymore.
He really didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
He's a sensitive tuna.
And he used to be a fighter, and I don't know what happened to him.
Mm. Well, the gentlemen get older, and they have less testosterone. That's why you got to hit Men's T Clinic. If you'd have been hitting Men's T Clinic, you're probably still in the NFL.
Yeah.
It just wasn't around when the tuna was here.
I needed to calm down. I was bad. Well, I admit, I was bad.
An unexpected stroll down memory lane, tales from a football life there with Brian Broaddus reliving some of the Parcells moments.
Oh, look at that guy's finger. Oh, did you see that? We had a soccer player, a dislocation. I think we got a dislocation of a left ring finger on a Man City player, and they're not showing a close-up here because they don't want to gross people out.
This is a flop that's actually...
I don't blame this. This is legit.
I think he's got his left ring finger laying over his two other fingers.
Tre'Davious White, Pro Bowl corner, getting released by the Bills as well.
Yeah, the Bills are in trouble.
The Bills are cleaning house. Mitch Morse, their center.
Instead of Gilmore, go get White.
White makes sense. He's coming off an injury, an ACL. That's a cowboy right there.
I do have the top 10 worst contracts of all time. If you guys want to play this game, let's go to 1980 and 4. One of the greatest running backs of all time signed with Seattle. After a dispute with the Steelers.
In the 80s?
84. Hall of Famer had just 170 yards in 8 games with the Hawks after rushing for 1,000 yards during his final year.
Franco Harris?
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. 1-0 World Chuck.
Yeah, Franco Harris, yeah.
Number 9, the worst free agent signings of all time. We go to 2019 in New England. Patriots paid this gentleman $9 million to catch 4 passes for 56 yards and a touchdown in 1 game.
That's AB.
Ding, ding, ding. Man, Wolchuk knows a lot. He's paying attention.
Yeah.
We go to
I'm watching the soccer player trying to get his finger fixed.
I don't mind Copenhagen for going after him. City has been making them look foolish.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea how Copenhagen scored, much less possessed the ball for more than 15 seconds concurrently. They're running around like slow-footed chickens with their head cut off against a professional team.
Dawson, do you think you could bring Copenhagen back to prominence
as a coach? Give me $1 billion.
Oh, look, we're taping up the fingers now.
Me and Faisal could do it if you want to put me in charge with the prince. That'd be great.
Faisal, he was president of Al Nassr.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
Okay, we go to 1995 in Cleveland. And this wide receiver that Brian knew signed a 5-year, $17 million contract, caught less than half of his targets in a disastrous year.
This is Andre Rison.
He got it.
There you go.
Won a Super Bowl with the Packers.
I love Andre Rison. Gotta love him.
Like, I have no idea who this is.
2-1, Wolchuk.
Yeah.
We go to 2011.
Can I tell a real quick story?
Sure.
About Rison?
Rison. when he was in Green Bay, he was getting $100,000 checks every week, and he was putting them in his locker.
Cool. What?
And he put them in the, and so when we won the Super Bowl,
and
he's cleaning out his locker, he goes, oh, man, that's where those are.
Let's go.
He had $300,000 in the top of his locker from checks from the Cleveland Browns.
Man, life is
that's
good.
That's awesome.
He didn't even know
what
it.
What a badass.
Dude.
I'm like, oh, yeah, Rangers have tied it up.
Damn right they have.
Tell me to be with my crypto wallets here in about 6 months.
Yeah, you're going
to
be taking off.
I just learned something about crypto today, but and you notice I'm stalling here so we don't have to play this game.
No, keep playing. I want to kick his ass.
Get your butt kicked. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You
can I didn't know that, Dawson. I thought I had to buy a whole Bitcoin.
Namdi Asomugha is number 7.
You do have to spend all $64,000. Go ahead and send it to me, and I'll put it in my little old thing and get that taken away.
Good. Lucius, give me that Cash App. I'll send it right to you.
I'll get you squared away, buddy.
Namdi Asomugha, number 7.
We'll process
send
that
receipt.
For you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Seriously, that's how little I know about Bitcoin.
Bounce back to 66.5 so far today. But anyway.
Hey, you signed with the...
He almost signed with the Cowboys. He signed with the Bird Turks.
Eagles. I was watching him negotiate on the field and training camp practice.
Yeah, we dodged a bullet on that one.
Abby was being born. This is 2011 free agency. I guess it had drug out into July because it was kind of a strike year. So all the free agency is happening in the summer of 2011, and the Cowboys were about to get him. I was listening to Rage with Rich and Greg. I was like, cool, we got Namdi Asomugha.
Yeah.
We've been talking about him and how amazing that he was, basically a coach on the field, blanket coverage. And then he went to Philadelphia as part of that dream team, could not get the job done. It's still 2-1 Wolchuk because I messed up and gave the answer
no,
there.
No, I guess that.
2022, we go to the Chargers, where a cornerback was given a 5-year, $82 million deal after
J.C. Jackson.
4-1, Wolchuk.
Whoa.
We go to the Jets in 2019, where after 1 year off, this running back.
Le'Veon Bell.
We go to 2019, where this quarterback was coming off a Super Bowl MVP with Brian's buddy.
Nick. Big Nick energy.
We go to Washington in 2006, where a former Rams safety was given 6 years and $30 million.
Adam Archuleta?
Yes, Adam Archuleta.
That's worth $7 million.
Yes, yeah. Adam Archuleta.
We go to
good broadcaster
division rival New York in 2021. They do 4 years and $72 million with a great Lions wide receiver.
Kenny Galladay. Yeah, that was a bad signing.
I thought he was going to say Nate Soldar with the
oh, that
the
was
tackle.
Also not
was
good.
A bad one.
Yeah.
And for the fifth time on this list, we stay in the NFC East, where the Cowboys have been benefiting from pathetic competition for over a decade and a half now in Washington.
Okay, I know who this is. It's got to be this dude.
7 years, one hundo.
Yeah, Albert Haynesworth.
Albert Haynesworth. Yeah.
Albert
the
Haynesworth.
Stomper himself. He's number one, right?
He's
got to be.
Worse.
Okay, yeah. That was such a bad signing. Washington was bad. They Archuleta and Haynesworth, they were just damn Snyder.
Man, here I am. I could have ran that team.
Yeah, you could have.
I could have been good for them.
Good pull with Archuleta, though. It's like I couldn't remember his name. That was good.
All right, we got to run, Nation. When we come back,
State,
Wolchuk, where are you taking us?
Yes, let's go around the rim. Are the Mavs in the most need for this specific overhaul? Talk about that next.
Yes, sir. Let's rock. Bobby Corella, we're talking Mavs coming up at 4. Let's do some rim right here and get you primed for that, Wolchuk. What do you say?
Let's do it. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out, put the kids to bed, and go all the way around the rim. A rain dance. Yeah, just an early teaser for 540's LA Live. I saw the question that you have for the Tolos out there, Lucius.
Something that yes.
Dead ball's wrong about.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, some idiot said the Mavericks would win the West.
Well, that idiot was gunned up, too. He was hyped.
What an idiot. Wow. Who would ever say that?
Moron.
That was me.
Jeez.
I am an idiot. Yeah. And, they're not going to win the West if they even make the playoffs playing the way they're playing right now. My goodness gracious, this has been disgusting. This was interesting. Eric just sent this. You know how he loves his numbers. Half the time, I don't think he even understands them. I certainly don't. I've had to Google what the hell this even means, but I'm adjusting on the fly. This is about opponents' true shooting percentage, okay? So the shooting percentage is adjusted for free throws and measures players' efficiency at shooting the ball. This is looking at the Mavericks' losses here over the stretch since they went on their 7-game winning streak. I think there's a common theme here. One, Tim Hardaway Jr., we know, is one of the worst defenders in all of basketball. If you are shooting against Tim Hardaway Jr., the odds of you making your shot is about 95%.
No way.
He's god-awful. In fact, in the Cavs game, 19 shots went up against him. Literally 95% were made.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Max Strus?
Yeah. But P.J. Washington, who you would think was a good defender, 13 shots went up against P.J., 82.5% were made. Let's go ahead and look at the Raptors game. You had 18 shots against Derek Lively. About half of those were made. Okay, P.J. Washington, much better defensive performance. But you also have Luka's defensive numbers have dropped here as well. Mm-hmm. And you could look at that and say, okay, Luka, we were applauding him as he was in an MVP stretch, especially during that 7-game win streak. He was locked in trying defensively. Celtics game, 87% of opponent shots were made against Luka. In fact, in all of these games, you look at the Celtics game, Pacers game last night, over 85% of the shots were made against Luka. 32 shots, 85% went in. So that's a theme that I think is one where the lowest shooting percentage allowed against him was 62%. It's a pretty good likelihood if you're shooting against Luka, they're going to make a basket. So he's got to step up, play better. But Tim Hardaway Jr., if he's not making his shots, this team isn't winning basketball games. And it's almost like, do you even risk playing him at this point? Because he's so damn bad defensively.
You need some other perimeter guys. You need one of these dudes to step up. And I you know, agree with Brian's idea or his report that the Mavs need to trim down their rotation. I just don't know who you take out. You know, they don't have enough guys who are good at offense and defense. And, you know, some guys who a lot of nights are good at neither.
It's frustrating, dude. It is. And I think they do need to find a way to shorten this bench. You can't be playing 11 guys every night. Jason Kidd's got to figure this out.
Yeah, you got to try something drastic here because you can't let it play out like this for the rest of the deal. I think if you're Jason Kidd, you would be done. And you would never get another head coaching job.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Now, off the floor, well, I guess this is on the floor, but I saw this five NBA teams that are in desperate need of a brand refresh. The Mavericks are number one. Do we look at the Mavericks, like they're we're talking the aesthetics here, the jerseys. They've basically maintained two of the four jerseys that they've worn since their championship season. And then the new jerseys that they've come out with, not so good.
I saw a deal the other day, though, when we were on the plane, that they were number 13 for best jersey logo and all that.
Right. I don't think of the Mavericks jerseys as being bad.
And they said if the Mavs added green to their jersey, it would be even better.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe that's why. Maybe it's just like a
but
little
bit of a refresh.
But the
Chicago Bulls were number one. The Chicago Bull logo was number one.
Yeah, I mean,
that was
with their run in the 90s, I get it. Yeah. They've got the Jazz, the Wizards, the Thunder, the Pistons, but the Mavericks at number one of needing a refresh. They say, if anything, this year's City Edition jerseys could serve as a starting place for a design refresh. The font is fun. Contrast to the black and blue is appealing. But I don't know. I didn't look at the Mavs jerseys and think, and maybe it's just because it's comfortable for us. I'm used to watching it. I'm used to seeing it. I don't think we need a change here.
No, you need a change when it starts to look old-fashioned and old-timey. You know, that's when you do it. When the font is representative of two decades ago. And you know when you see it, but I don't see anything resembling that with the Mavs.
No.
I did like the blue uniforms they did at least last year that had the green piping on the side
like
and the green highlights. You know, there's some different looks that they have. And overall, I'd give the Mavs uniforms a thumbs up.
Some Tolos, though. Mavs definitely need a new logo. Not going to say the rest of that 940.
Did you guys like the white cowboy hat on the M? On the, you know, like
Don Carter's.
The Don Carter logo?
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, that's the best one to me.
I liked it.
You
like
that one?
That's my favorite Mavs situation right there.
I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, that's the one, bro.
Yeah.
And the green one, too? Yeah. That's my favorite Mavs situation.
Yeah, the green one, I'm with you 100%. Absolutely need a rebranding from the 206. I don't know. Maybe this is a bigger issue than we really thought. Can this man save the dunk contest if he doesn't eat his way out of the league?
I think Dallas Stars need one more. Who's the dunk contest? Oh, the dunk contest, Zion? I'd be for that.
Okay, so Zion took to the podium. He's asked about the dunk contest, and this is after he had 16 points in 26 minutes. Big win over the Raptors. Here's Zion. What do you think? You going to the dunk contest?
I got to do my part and make the All-Star game. If I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. But if I'm not, I'm not doing it.
It's fair.
Sounds like a fair deal to me. I don't want, you know, I have a busy schedule. If I'm not in the All-Star game, I'd rather enjoy life.
I'd rather enjoy all the meals.
Kind of feels like he doesn't want to be in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to do my part and make the All-Star game. Well, then damn well do your part. I mean, he's done it twice. Hashtag do your part here, Zion, because I think we need you in the All-Star game, buddy.
It would be so awesome if a fat guy wins the dunk contest. I mean, it might be the greatest accomplishment since Spud Webb.
I'd be so pumped.
You know, might be more impressive than Spud Webb.
I would love it. The Heat are adding Patty Mills as Josh Richardson is coming back.
Yeah, I saw he got released.
Yeah.
Where are you with my Stars take, though, that they need the redo? Because theirs is the most old. The last time they tried to redo something, they got black and fluorescent yellow out and started making highlighter uniforms. That was weird. But I just think I'd like...
They still do.
Do you like the Victory Green?
I'd like to flip my nose, or what do? I flick my nose? I'd like to tell Minnesota to get bent, okay? Because they've made this a rivalry.
Okay.
They're mad at us. They hate on us. And we're still using their color.
Well, Minnesota's jerseys are disgusting, or their sweaters, I should say.
This is a Minnesota North Star sweater still.
Okay, the old.
Yeah, and I think
I'd say bring back the North Stars.
I liked the ones they won the cup
in. The South Stars, troll them.
Yeah, just really troll them.
Yeah, they're 99-2000 jerseys. Those were the best ones, where it's the Cesar shape
Montiago,
of the star.
Bring those back.
Yeah, the whites are awesome with the green, and then the road ones, which were the reverse. You have a little bit of gold in there
What was
well,
the one
stars.
They had that
those
was
the best jerseys.
What was the crazy? You had like a wolf
like a Texan.
Head. What was that thing that was
like a Texan's helmet?
It was a
like
bull.
A bull.
They had a bull with red eyes.
Those were horrific.
Yeah.
Those were bad.
Yeah.
I don't mind the Victory Green that they've got now, but I would love to go back to the jerseys they won the Stanley Cup in 99 and then in 2000. Those are awesome.
So the actual star, right?
The actual
outline
star.
Of a star, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Those are gorgeous.
Those were different. Bad take on the Stars uniforms, General, says the 817. Okay. I'll stand down.
I don't know.
Thanks for squaring me away, guys.
I'll stand down. No, I liked it. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Sign Jim Neal.
Jalen Brunson, MRI on his knee injury was clean, according to Tom Thibodeau. So, shout out to Jalen Brunson. Did you guys see what happened with Anthony Edwards a couple nights ago?
No, what happened?
So Anthony Edwards isn't in the starting lineup, and he is literally...
You try and dunk and hit his back?
He is squatting at the scorer's table, waiting to get inserted into the game. This is right before the
squatting
opening
Squatting and insert.
Tip.
Okay, go.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Apparently, he just lost track of time. He didn't come out onto the floor with enough time to be out there for the starting five. And he ended up at the first timeout. He gets inserted back into the basketball game. But, I mean, I don't know. How do you lose track of time there if you're an NBA player?
I'll tell you what, there's some ladies that sit courtside now that he probably was taking an eye at.
Chatting up a little bit?
Yeah, he was probably taking
good for him.
Looking across the floor.
I'm in on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have given Kevin Durant, as we wrap up around the rim here, a lot of grief for you're up 3-1, you blow a lead against Golden State, and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to go join that team and win some championships.
I give him grief because he doesn't moisturize his skin and brush his hair.
And I think that's probably...
it just bothers me.
Warranted.
You're on TV every other night, man.
Warranted. Yeah.
Rub some lotion on my ankles, bro.
Why we're at
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he stinks. Maybe he's one of those guys who doesn't bathe.
Texas deal.
I don't know that for sure. This is Brian, just allegedly.
What?
He's getting a little bit crazy over here.
Not me.
Is that what you're going to ask when you see him?
Yeah.
So what's your deal?
Yeah.
What's your deal?
What's your deal?
Yeah. Don't shake your hand. But Draymond Green was on Carmelo Anthony's podcast and talked about how a year before Kevin Durant hit free agency, he went team friendly because they had their eye on the prize, which was Kevin Durant.
When I signed my deal, BJ Armstrong was my agent. The conversation me and BJ had was, listen, here's your whole cap table. Here's what it is next year. The cap next year jumps to this. Look who's a free agent next year, KD. Here's what you can take and y'all still be able to pay him max. The number was 5 for 85. He's like, all right, write down the number that you want and I'm going to go get it. For some dumb reason, I was like, all right, 82, because I didn't quite understand that even if they didn't give me that $3 million, they couldn't take it and give it to somebody. Right. I didn't know that at that time. So I was like, 82, so we can sign one more Lord. Dummy, I should have took them three M's.
I said 88.
I wrote 82.
85, 84.
I wrote 82 on a sheet of paper. He's like, all right, circle it. But if you circle it, you saying it's done? I circled it. He took the sheet of paper and left. So that was it. That was the conversation a whole summer before KD becoming a free agent.
The vision. Yeah. Bring in Kevin Durant, free agency. The dynasty continued there. But, Draymond Green kind of foolishly got himself.
Gave away $3 million.
Less money. On that deal. Which, you know, that's a little bit on brand for Draymond.
Well, hey, you know, nobody's perfect in those situations. But I think what you saw is after 6 or 7 years, you know, a player still not that informed on the salary cap and how that whole thing works. And you're trusting your agent. to take great care of you so you can take care of your body and your game. It is time now to catch up with Bobby Corella, Mavs.com. What does he think? Are the Mavs in crisis or just a little speed bump before an exciting conclusion to the season? That's coming up next right here, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.